This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's February 25th, and on this day in 1964, Muhammad Ali beat Sonny Liston for the first time, with a little rumbling afterward suggesting the fight was fixed. Sonny Liston was the heavyweight champ after knocking out Floyd Patterson in the first round back in September 1962. He put Patterson on the mat for good again in the first round in the rematch in July 1963. So, in the past 18 months, Liston had fought about 4 minutes in an actual ring. There were also reports out of his camp that he was not training very hard for this fight with Ali, running a mile a day instead of his normal 5. He supposedly ate a lot of hot dogs and drank a lot of beer in the lead-up. And if you remember from the January 5th edition of This Day in Sports History, there was a question about how old he really was. He said he was 32 going into this fight, but most thought that he was at least 34, if not a little bit older. Ali was never a fighter to lack any confidence, and coming into this one, he did feel confident, even though nobody else thought he had a chance. Vegas had Ali, who was still going by Cassius Clay at this point, as a 7-1 underdog. Ali predicted a knockout in the 8th round in his pre-fight poem and baited the bear, as he called it, in the weeks ahead of the fight. Now here we are on fight night. When the bell rang to start the fight, Liston came out of his corner like a bull ready to end the fight quickly. But Ali used his footwork to escape the onslaught. Towards the end of the round, Ali was able to put together a bit of a flourish that stung Liston a little, and Ali got a little extra time. Referee Barney Felix didn't hear the bell to end the round, and it lasted an extra 9 seconds. Move ahead to the break between the 4th and 5th rounds. As Ali moved towards his corner, his eyes were burning, and he couldn't see. Ali's trainer Angelo Dundee sponged water into his eyes, but said that he put a finger to Ali's eye and then to his, and it burned. There was something caustic in Ali's eyes, presumably from a foreign substance applied to Liston's gloves. Ali was not ready to go out for the 5th, and the fight came close to being stopped and Liston given the win. Ali, still not able to see, was told by Dundee to run. As he danced, Ali said he could only see a shadow of Liston. By round 6, Ali's vision had cleared up and he got his confidence back, landing a series of punches. After the round, he turned to ringside reporters and told them to get ready for him to shake up the world. When the bell rang for the 7th, Liston did not answer the bell. Whether he told his corner that he was done or they made the decision for him, the official word was that his shoulder was injured and that he could not continue. Liston spit out his mouthpiece. The fight was over. Ali had won. It was the first time in 45 years that a champion had retired during a title bout. Almost as soon as the fight ended, suspicion of a fix began. It was long known that Liston had connections with the Lucchese crime family. Could he have been paid off or threatened to lose the fight? But Liston's shoulder injury was deemed legit. A team of doctors examined Liston at St. Francis Hospital after the fight, and they all agreed that Liston had a torn tendon that bled into his bicep muscle and was too damaged to continue the fight. Still, the Florida State Attorney General opened an investigation, ruling a month later that there was not any evidence of a fix. The FBI also investigated the possibility of the fight being fixed, but never released any information about their findings. These two would meet again in May 1965, with even more controversy following that one. But that's a story for another dish. Also on this day, the NCAA handed down sanctions against the Southern Methodist football program, wiping out the Mustangs' entire 1987 schedule, taking away their 1988 home games, along with limiting the number of scholarships they could offer moving forward. It was called the death penalty, and it would take a long time for the program to recover. It took a few days for the impact to really settle in. And I'll have more on this story in the February 27th edition of This Day in Sports History, when it became apparent to all involved with the program how tough it was really going to be moving forward. And in 1977, the movie Slapshot was released in theaters. That's all for today. More tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You gotta go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.